Previously on Dubious Intent Plus.
And I really don't understand what the hell she was doing on my TV.
Well, you know, she's doing that whole tour in the Scooby van. She's trying to reconnect with the American people.
And she would have gotten away with it, too, if it weren't for those damn kids. But what I'm saying is this is way too early. This is way too early. My God, it's April. It is April of 2015. And I'm looking at her, you know, talking on my screen. That's just.
I know. And I'm looking at the pool of candidates coming out that are announcing for the other side. And what I wouldn't give to have Mitt Romney back.
From the Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe, it's time for DI Plus to come screaming at you through Tay Interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. DI Plus is brought to you by Three Angry Cats. If you'd like to see three little furballs get all angry and mean and everything, just leave them with a cat sitter for 12 days and, you know, come home a little bit late for them to eat. That's all I'm saying. It wasn't pretty. Check them out at 3angrycats.com and don't forget to use the special listener checkout code DIPLUS for a furry discount. Welcome to DIPLUS. I am Daniel Brewer and I am joined from the Angry Cat Free State of California by the one and only Miss Christina Hill. Hello, Christina.
Hello, Daniel, and hello, everyone.
It's so nice to hear. I need to turn your volume up, but it's so nice to see you this evening.
It's great to see you. I have to admit, this is quite awesome to see what it's like from the other side, being a listener every week.
It's frightening. What you really mean to say is that this is frightening.
Well, you know, being the best produced podcast in the Pride 48 sphere, I'm going to learn from you. I'm learning all the tips, you know.
That's right. Well, you know, in Vegas this year, I'm going to bring you a new mixer so that we won't ever have this whole echoing problem that we have again. I was a guest.
I have one. I just need it set up.
I know. I was a guest on your show, and we were dealing with the echo there.
I know.
And everyone else had a great run on your show, but mine was all just like,
No, you sounded lovely.
And
you sound lovely. They sound terrible on their end, but it always turns out okay on this end.
And then tonight you had your big microphone set up and your whole mixer set up. And then, yeah, as soon as we clicked over into the high quality mode, I started hearing myself back. And ordinarily, I mean, I was fine with that. If it wouldn't have come out on the recording, it would have been fine. However, because it was happening on your side and I'm recording, it would have come out both on the recording and the stream. So the people in the chat room would have
had an echo.
Yeah, they would have had pitchforks and flaming things like that. You know what, Christina? It is 9:34 p.m. on a Sunday evening, and that can, of course, mean only one thing. We are streaming live on Pride48.com in front of the world's most amazing chat room. Christina, who is joining us this evening?
Well, we have yourself, Mr. Daniel Brewer, but we also have the GFN General, who's been nice enough to be my support crew there. We have Nico. We have myself. We have RT Cruiser. We have Spider. And then we have
CT Yaley.
Right, yes. Excuse me. And then we have Cyclone, who are idling.
Excellent.
Oh, and we also have Minion 51 just joining us.
That's right. Minion 51, which I believe I don't have my Minions sheet up on. Is that Jay? No, he's number one because Jay texted me earlier and said he was listening. So Minion number one, Jay, is listening. He's just probably not in the chat room.
I can tell you right now because I have just logged in to the GFN page and Minion number 51 is Carlos Hernandez, one of our new Minions.
So wasn't Jay Harris. All right. But no, I realized that halfway out when I had the sentence halfway out of my mouth. Like, no, he's like Minion number one, right?
Blind Guy Jay, yeah, that's Jay is Harris. Yeah. Minion number 16.
Oh, number 16.
Yeah.
Well.
You're close. We're going to give you close.
Well, I was close. CT Yaley, by the way, is my friend Bill here from Connecticut, the one that did the Curtis and Daniel theme song.
Ooh, yes, yay. So. Hello.
Right. So, Nico is out there in L.A., the area where Adam Burns currently is, who you are filling in for this evening. Thank you so much for I understand you had to rearrange numerous different high-level meetings with important, royalty and stuff in order to be here tonight. I really do appreciate it.
Do you really want to know the truth of what I had to do? Because you might feel a little bad.
I don't want to feel bad.
Well, come on. They'll love it. Okay. And this gives me a chance to do a little bit of a shout out. So please, if you don't mind indulging me for one second.
No, please go ahead.
Today is Sunday, May 3rd, and it is my parents' 40th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. And my parents were here in my living room visiting with us. And I told them, I have to be live on the air at 6 o'clock. So y'all got to leave at 5:30.
Oh, you just like, you didn't even say like, you know what? I have to go do a big important podcast. No. You guys are welcome to come and listen. And then,
No, I'm sorry. I cut you off. But yeah, no, I actually invited my mother to sit up here if she wanted to watch it. Cause my dad was downstairs watching, Captain America Winter Soldier with, but my parents decided they wanted to head home cause they wanted to get the barbecue started and everything. So
can I just say this? Yeah. Can I just say this about Winter Soldier? Prior to Winter Soldier, my favorite, Avenger genre movie would have been, one of the Iron Mans, probably Iron Man 3. All right. So
I like that one.
However, when Winter Soldier came out, I didn't really care for the first Captain America movie. I liked it, but he never really fought Nazis. All he ever did was fight Hydra. Anyway, that's not important. Yeah. So then Winter Soldier came out and I really liked it. And I actually bought the movie. So I have the movie. I've seen it numerous times and I love the movie, but there's one piece. Now, normally, I mean, come on, we're talking about comic books. We're talking about sci-fi and you know, action heroes and stuff like that. So I am willing to suspend my disbelief for a whole lot of things. Okay. A whole lot of things. However, there is one scene in Winter Soldier that even though I love the movie, I still to this day when I watch it, when that scene happens, I go, no. And this is, he is jumping out. You may recall this. He is in an elevator fighting a bunch of folks.
Okay.
And then he beats them all up and then the doors open and there's like another whole group of people that are going to come in and fight him. And so he decides instead, I'm going to smash out the window of the elevator and jump out.
Yes.
So he leaps from S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters. He leaps from like the 13th or 14th floor of S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters, leaps out of the elevator, crashes through the porte-cochere and onto asphalt, using only his shield in front of him.
Yeah.
And when he lands, he goes, oh, and then gets up and runs away. Now, to me, it's like, I get it. The shield is vibranium, and it absorbs all vibrations. So it's like, it's a neutral kind of a thing. So if you were to shoot him with a gun, you know, with a bullet or whatever, it would absorb the impact of the bullet and yada, yada, yada. However, just the kinetic energy of him falling and then abruptly stopping like that, the shield is not going to do anything for that. Now, here's the one thing. This is the stupid thing. All he had to do for me to stay with it would have been to roll. If he just would have rolled, you know, like hit on the shield and then rolled, even though it's completely unrealistic, I still would have, okay, of course he dumped the kinetic energy when he hit the ground and he rolled like that, you know. But no, still to this day.
I'm with you because my thing in that scene was, how did he curl himself up small enough to fit on the back of it? Because do you know when he hits the ground, he's on his side curled up on the shield.
That
like he's not
correct.
Laid out flat.
Yes.
He's all curled up like, you know, embryo style. Mm-hmm. And somehow he manages to tuck himself up mm-hmm. small enough to fit all the way on that shield.
Right. That's the impact. The impact probably squished him down.
It would have at least broken the arm that was connected in the shield. Like at the very least, that arm would have been broken.
Oh, no. Yeah. No. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I'm with you.
So, you know, whatever. I'm just saying.
That and when Falcon jumps out of the window and somehow manages to land in the helicopter because they tipped it so he doesn't hit the blades. That part gets me too.
But see, now I'm even willing to go there. I'm just like, all right, fine.
No,
I'm willing.
That one gets me too. I'm like, nope. Anyways, we are off agenda.
We don't have an agenda. Have you seen Age of Ultron? Because I haven't seen it yet.
We did. We saw it Friday night.
So
it's Bob's birthday weekend and Bob wanted Avengers Age of Ultron. So we went Friday night.
So I was, I've been in Wisconsin for the last couple of weeks and, all my other coworkers flew out Friday afternoon and I just didn't want to, I hate that whole thing. Cause we had classes on Friday. We were there for training. So we had classes on Friday and I was just like, you know what? I hate that whole thing where you like, you have to pack Friday morning before you go to the place. And then you're rushing and you're like all anxious because and it's like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to leave on Saturday. I'll just stay Friday night. I'll just leave Saturday morning.
Right.
So I stayed Friday night. Of course, nobody else was in town that I knew. And there was a movie theater 5 blocks away from the hotel, which I had a rental car. So it was a little further than 5 blocks, but I had a rental car. And I was like, oh, I could just go see Age of Ultron tonight. But I was so far behind on like Game of Thrones and stuff like that I started watching them on my laptop on HBO Go. And then on HBO Go. And I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to sleep. Because there's going to be a big crowd of people there. I'll just wait. I'll go next weekend when there's nobody there. And
that's just age getting to us. Yeah, we We did that. Well, the only, we normally now, we used to be like, opening night, Thursday at midnight, we're going to be the first ones to see it. And now we're like, oh, Friday is fine. It's still going to be crowded. Do you want to do, let's do something a little later so that the families have already gone through and seen the earlier shows. So we saw like a, it was a 9:50 showing on Friday night. And our minion number 42 got there super early and he got the spot in line to get into the theater. So when we showed up, we just had to get in line with him.
Cool.
And there was a nice group of us.
Normally in the past, I, instead of like trying to go to the midnight showings, well, I'm usually up late. That's usually what I'll do is I'll just take that Friday and go during the day on Friday. You know what I'm saying? Like go to like the 11 a.m. showing because there's nobody there.
And that's smart.
Yeah, there's nobody there.
Because everybody's at work and there's nobody there.
Plus,
if we could do that, we would.
Plus, and I'm not going to suggest in any way, shape, or form that maybe I go to the theater that's only four blocks away from my office. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to suggest that at all.
No, not at all.
No, we're
not even going to assume you take an extra long lunch.
Nope. I would never do that. I would, of course, take the day off like I'm supposed to and go into that. I would not disappear mysteriously from my cubicle for several hours.
No, never. No. You're obviously on company business whenever that happens.
Correct. Absolutely. It's research. I work for a large health insurance company. I want to find out, what Captain America, that's why I'm so concerned about him breaking all of his...
He is a medical miracle.
Yeah, he is. He is.
There's so much that could be learned from that. Yeah. We're going to buy that.
Great. So what have you been up to, Christina?
Like I said, it's a big weekend. It's Bob's birthday tomorrow. Bob has May the 4th be with you as his birthday.
Lucky dog.
And those who know Bob know he's a huge comic book and Star Wars fan. So not only is it every year the big Marvel release weekend, but it's also Star Wars weekend. So he pretty much has the birthday of his dreams. So it's been all about Bob, and my parents' anniversary obviously was today. So that's been a big deal. But then yesterday was the swim team banquet. And for those of you who follow me on Facebook, you would have seen the videos I posted yesterday of Bob and the other coaches for the swim team that my husband is head coach for, all lined up, surrounded by tarps as children smashed cream pies, basically pie plates full of whipping cream in their faces over and over and over again until they were completely coated from head to toe in whipped cream. And it was a giant mess. We did it on the pool deck so that we could easily hose everything down afterwards. And the kids love it.
You know, I've seen not one, but two pornos that started that way. And
Well, and it's pretty funny because the oils from the whipped cream, the oil, it gets oily when you load a whole bunch of it, especially on cloth. So most of the coaches are sitting there in swim trunks, or swimsuits. So it's like pretty much, it kind of looks like a firing line, like they're all about to be executed because they're all sitting there going, not me, him. So.
Yeah, I guess it is. So depending on the cream, it's usually not cream, right? I mean, so that you could get the heavy whipping cream and actually whip it up, but usually most of the already whipped cream, like Cool Whip and stuff like that, is an oil. It's like a hydrogenated oil or something, right?
Right. And the last year they actually used the spray whipped cream, but the problem was that the coaches complained because for about 4 days after, they could not get the smell of sour milk out of their nostrils. So this year they decided to use, they decided to use non-dairy whipping cream or non-dairy cream. But what happens is they bought it in these restaurant style cartons, and we had to take it home and whip it ourselves. So Friday night before we went to the movie, I was in my kitchen with my electronic hand mixer whipping up whipped cream for like 2 hours, and that we had to store in the fridge and the freezer to take the next morning. So it's been a really weird weekend. Like if you didn't know me and you didn't hear the explanation, there was like 7 or 8 like big quart pitchers full of whipped non-dairy whipped cream just in my fridge that we all took Saturday morning. So I had like massive amounts of whipped cream and Speedos and all sorts and goggles.
So this was you in your house.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Wow, it takes them a long time to say something, doesn't it?
It does.
Excellent. Well, I didn't have anything so much fun. I was out in Wisconsin at go ahead.
Dairyland, you know, you could have gotten your hands on a lot of whipped cream.
It wasn't whipped cream that I had, but I was out in Wisconsin for training. There's a very large EMR company called Epic. Which most health systems, EMR, by the way, is electronic medical record. So it's the software that runs the hospital, does all the hospital admissions and billing and other things that we do.
Fitting then that it's named Epic.
It is called Epic. So Epic is a company that is out in Verona, Wisconsin, which is right outside of Madison, Wisconsin. And it is all that is there. And it is a very modern software company in that it's a big open campus with, you know, it's big and new and just huge, and it is Epic. I mean, it is they have about, I think, 8,000 employees right out there in Verona, and just recently they just built this $3 million addition that is basically just an auditorium that they only use once a month so that they can sit all 8,000 people in the same auditorium. And so it's this huge underground auditorium that only gets used for that one day a month for their, you know, their in-house meetings or whatever. Because upstairs from that, they have a huge, even bigger auditorium that they use for their health conferences and stuff, which have more than just the 8,000. So it's like this training center is huge. It's just this huge, big, enormous, sprawling training center.
Well, they have the space, right? You said there's nothing else.
It's in the middle of Dairyland out there. It's very... So it was there. And you know what? There's a lot of really, really hot Wisconsin boys. Let me tell you this. I'm here at Yale, and yeah, there's a bunch of cute Yaleys or whatever, and you know, New Yorkers, just a bunch of cute, but there's a lot of really hot Wisconsin boys.
Mm-hmm.
There.
Oh yeah.
So I was there, and I got to experience cheese curds in not one but two forms. I had the fried cheese curds, and I had the non-fried cheese curds.
Wouldn't fried cheese curds be like mozzarella sticks? Isn't it
very similar? Very similar, except it comes with a dipping sauce, and they're not like tubes like a mozzarella stick. They're more like the curds.
They're small.
Yeah, they're curds. They're in various different sizes. So I had that. They had very good burgers and steaks there. Both the almost every time I had a burger or a steak there, it was delicious.
Nice.
It makes sense, right? Cows.
Yeah.
Cows are necessary for beef. I don't know if you knew that.
It's they kind of are.
It's
and,
science.
You know, anything close to Chicago's stockyards where all the good beef gets trained out to the locations, you know, that's you're closer to it than you were normally.
So I had that. And then they have a brewing company right outside of Madison called the New Glarus Brewing Company, which
that's because Wisconsinites love beer.
They do. They do. There was so here's the thing. Yeah. So New Glarus, which is a little town on the other side of Verona. So they have this brewing company. So there's this beer that you can only get in Wisconsin. It's called Spotted Cow, and it's delicious. But you can only get it in Wisconsin. And
they named it after cows. Very original.
They did.
Okay.
Spotted Cow from the New Glarus Brewing Company. It's very good. There's a picture of it, I think, somewhere on my Facebook page. But yeah, it was very good. Now, I showed a bottle. I never had the bottle. I always had it out of the draft when I was there. But yeah, no, it was. So at this training thing that I was there for, it was 4 days, you know, so Tuesday through Friday, both weeks that I was there for training, and 8-hour days, basically, like from 8:30 in the morning until 5 o'clock in the evening. Blah, blah, blah. But we would take breaks every, yes, thank you, Dan in the chat. Jeff in general has posted a picture of spotted cow that I took on my Facebook page. But we would take breaks like every hour and a half or every hour in the afternoon, right? We would take breaks. And then coming back from those breaks, they would show some stupid little thing up on this, you know, so I'm trying to think of like
an advertisement
some kind of fun little puzzle or you know, just something to like, instead of just, you know, okay, let's get right back to where we were, you know what I'm saying? Let's get right back to where we were in training. And instead they would play, you know, like some little YouTube video or something that was funny.
Just a little something to make sure you're all awake and ready to pay attention.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's this series of videos. I don't know if you've ever seen them, called Kid Snippets.
No, are this like the kids say the darndest things videos and stuff? I've seen those.
I'm going to play the audio from this one. This is my favorite one that they played. I'm going to play the audio from it, which is funny. However, I'm also going to put the link to the video for this in the chat room. It's on YouTube. Because what it is it's adult actors voicing conversations that kids have had.
Okay.
So I'm going to play the audio now. I don't know how funny the audio is going to be. I think it's still funny. These are two kids talking about math class. So these two kids are having a conversation. So one of the kids is pretending to, you know, to help the other kid. Well, not pretending, but they're going to teach math. So here you go. Here's the audio from that. So that
got it.
No,
the thing is already starting.
All right, here we go.
Okay, here's your homework.
First, let me tell you the directions. What? 4, takeaway 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Takeaway. What's 6 takeaway 1?
1.
No. You take away, so you take away 1 out of 6. How much does it equal?
All right, yeah, what? I think it's funnier as a visual. All right, so just the kid playing the two adults playing it. The one guy is really adorable, and he plays like the stupid kid really well. Anyway,
got it.
You should go. I think I put the link in the chat room, but if you're listening on the podcast later, just go to YouTube and search for Kid Snippets Math Class, and you will find this particular clip. It's really funny. But that's not what I wanted to say. What I wanted to say is that, because you said there's a lot of beer in Wisconsin, one of the things that they put up there were different data graphs. It was like, here's a graph with some kind of visual data representation, and then we had to guess what the data representation was for.
Okay.
And there's one that was the United States, and each state had different colors, like little dots of different colors. Like they went all the way from green to dark brown. And the entire state of Wisconsin had little brown dots, almost like doing the exact outline of Wisconsin. And it turns out that there was actually a data graph for the number of bars compared to the number of churches. So it's like Wisconsin actually had like the most number of bars in comparison to churches of any of the states. So yeah.
So did Texas have the most number of churches in comparison? Because the last time I was in Texas, there literally wasn't anything but churches and Walmarts. So
yes, it was a very thing. So yeah, it was just kind of weird that they did those things. But yeah, see, now I went on this tangent now. I'm so sorry.
Well, it's what we do. And apparently CT Yaley isn't enjoying it because he's asked if you could have a mime on next week.
I can.
So apparently I'm not fitting the bill of being Adam. I need to speak up a little more. I'm just trying to cure
I don't think
that.
No. I don't think it's that. I think it's the fact that I just played a sound from a video that is actually much more visual than it is. I will be going to lunch with him tomorrow. I'm sure he will clarify that. But no, I'm sure it was not you.
He'll give you all the...
Yeah, it was not you. So anyway, that was how I spent my 2 weeks. No, but if you'll notice that I said that we only had classes from Tuesday until Friday.
Right.
And I was there for 12 days, which I was there over a weekend. So you know what I did?
Mm-hmm.
I got my little golf cart that I rented. Well, it was a Fiat 500, but it might as well have been a golf cart. I got into my little Fiat 500 and I drove my happy little butt up to Chicago.
Nice.
And I hung out with Tom and Terry at one of their places.
One of. Oh, I didn't.
They have many places. Mm-hmm. So I was there with Tom and Terry at one of their places. This would be the place that Kathy Bacon was not allowed to come into. So I was there. at the place that Kathy Bacon was not allowed inside. And
you were at the Kathy Bacon free zone.
That's right. I was at the Kathy Bacon free zone. And then we went from there. We went to dinner at the same place that they took Kathy Bacon, which when we showed her a picture from there, she's like, is there not another restaurant in Chicago? went to dinner.
Did you order a burger? You have a thing for burgers.
I do love burgers, but I did not order a burger that night. What did I order? Oh, I wish I could remember what I ordered.
It's not important.
Yeah, it's not.
I just wanted to make sure you didn't eat another burger.
I do love burgers. I love steaks. I love burgers. And I got many of those in Wisconsin.
Nice.
So yeah, I went and saw Tom and Terry. This was the week before Tom retired, because Tom is now, he just retired this past Friday. So now Tom is officially, unemployed. Or retired, really. When you're young,
Tom is officially someone I envy. Really what it is.
Right. When you're young, it's called being unemployed. When you're old, it's called retired. Right?
Retirement.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. It's the same thing. It just means he's broke. And so he's basically going to be mooching off a lot of people right now, is what he's
saying. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. But no, so I went. I had a lovely day with Tom and, a lovely 2 days with Tom and Terry, because the next day we went to Millennium Park, and there's all kind of pictures of that over on my Google Plus page and whatnot that we went and did. Now, they're into geocaching. Are you into geocaching?
I have gone geocaching. I haven't gone in a long time, but Bob and I actually did some geocaching a few years back with a friend of mine from a company that I no longer work for. She turned us onto it, and we actually had to create a team. And so we named our team Soupsbane, and it was actually after a weapon. My husband and I at the time were playing a lot of, what were we playing? Not Diablo 2. It was one of those style games, though. The group D&D based adventure games where you play on your console, though. It was like PlayStation 2. We were playing Champions of Norrath.
Champions of Norrath.
And there was this special weapon you could get if you completed this one certain thing, and it was called Soup's Bane. And it was when we were low level, so we were like, what is this thing? We want to figure out what this is. And so we completed the little thing, and Bob's barbarian got Soup's Bane. It was a giant wooden spoon that you just bitch slap people with. And so we liked it so much that we literally did this thing where we got outside a dungeon and we were like, let's just take off all of our armor and all of our gear and all of our weapons and just run in there naked with Soup's Bane. And that's what we did to try to do this dungeon. And we had so much fun just smacking people with a wooden spoon like a school marm who's angry at people, that when she was like, you have to think of a team name, we were like, Soup's Bane.
Soup's Bane.
Yeah.
Yes, we have something similar in World of Warcraft. We had when you were fishing, you could end up catching dead fish, which were basically, you could be used as maces. So you could equip dead fish, and your character would actually have dead fish that you would fight with. Anyway.
Nice.
They're into geocaching, and they actually have those little tags that they do. Have you seen these little barcoded tags?
Are they the coded tags that you leave in the cache and then people can move them and you can look them up and see where they've gone to?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And yeah. They have those and everything. So I was like, you know what? If you guys are really into this, because they were telling me all this. Now, keep in mind, it's Tom and Terry, so they were drunk. So they were like, oh, yeah, find these things out there. And they, you know, because they're always drunk. And he's like, look, this one looks like a rusted screw, and it's a magnet. And you'd like put it up on the you know, and then it's a geocache location. And everything. I'm like, you know what? You guys, you would really like Ingress.
Oh, yeah, that game, the cell phone game.
It is an AR game, yes. So it's an augmented reality game where there are things out in the physical world that you can only see via your cell phone. And then depending on which team you're on, you either like defend the portal or you attack the portal and with all your little weapons. So Tom resisted. Terry immediately jumped into it, and Terry was like, yeah, I think I saw this, but I didn't know how to play. And so I was showing him how to play, and we went around, and I helped him hack some portals and got him going there. And then just last night, the day after Tom retired, I got a video from him where he was basically outside hacking a portal. So it's like he's already done it now. So now it's like Tom and Terry, we'll never see them again. Now they've completely gone over to be Ingress agents, and they're out there.
I've never played, but I'm pretty sure it's the game that TJ was hooked on her cell phone for a while. And when she was out here visiting a year or so ago, we would be driving and she'd be like, she'd look at her phone. She'd be like, there's a portal like 3 blocks from here. Can we hang a right? And I'd be like, sure. And yes. So we'd hang a right and she'd be like, okay, slow down. So I would like slow to a crawl as we drove by like a cemetery and like a specific mausoleum statue was a portal. And she just attack it. And I got it. Okay. We can go now.
Yes, so, that is Ingress. Yes.
Yeah. So we'd be on like the freeway going over. We'd be like merging on a freeway overpass. And she'd be like, there's a portal just off this next exit. Can we go? And I'm like, sure. Mm-hmm. Let's go. So yeah, we had a good time with it. Although it was pretty funny because I'd just be driving around and she'd just stare at her phone as she hit the screen over and over and over and over and over again. So yeah.
If you're attacking a portal, then you have to like use your weapons to it. And as you get higher up in levels and your weapons do more damage and stuff like that. But yeah, there's, it's called Ingress. You can look it up. Ingress. It's available on iOS and Android. It's a free game. It's fun. Yeah. It's fun to play.
Apparently, the cemetery right down the street from my house, a few blocks, has a number of portals in it.
So what happens is when they initially populated the portals in the real world, they used public art databases and then public building databases. So almost every public building is a portal. So like all post offices, libraries, things like that. And the rules,
City Hall.
Yeah. And the rules state that this has to be, the portals have to be accessible 24 hours a day. So in other words, they can't be like inside of a locked place or inside of a, you know, so they have to be like, you know, like a public building you can walk past in the evening and in hack, right? Or whatever. It can't be behind a locked gate or something that somebody could hide behind. So almost every piece of public artwork. So all, if you think about just in your local town, the number of plaques and memorial plaques and things that are on street corners and stuff, there's a database of all those things. And so that's how they initially, and then over the past couple of years, as Ingress has gone live, because in beta and gone live, you can actually suggest, oh, I think this should be a portal. And so then they review them and then they add them to it, or you think this one shouldn't be. So yeah, it's actually a quite mature game at this point in time where there's lots of players and lots of things going on. And
And when you live in a pretty heavily populated city like I do, you know, especially a tech savvy area like I do living in Silicon Valley, literally everything out here is a portal because everybody's playing this game. So,
Yeah, at Epic, a lot of it, because I heard there's artwork all over the Epic building, and it's all because they have an open campus. Yeah, it's all portals. And so it was just basically there. Anyway, I'm boring people to tears now with this stuff. So sorry. We do not have birthdays because I didn't.
Other than Bob. But
that's right. You
know, no famous birthdays.
We have no famous birthdays. We can talk about the Pride 48 birthdays and whatever. However, we do have news stories because I said, hey, Christina, why don't you pick a few news stories and we'll talk about those. So let me do the whole thing here. Let's make this official thing. The news.
Okay, so I just randomly searched various topics, but I came up with some stories that caught my interest, and I'm not sure if they're going to catch anybody else's, but I tried to stick to the not too serious. The first one, though, has a very serious title. Kayaker rescues man who jumped off bridge in suicide attempt. Wow. And this one caught my eye just because lately there has been a rash of people threatening to jump off of various freeway overpasses near my house, which is causing me to not get home in time for things like my live shows. And these are things that affect us. So in Little Ferry, New Jersey, authorities say a man who attempted suicide by jumping off a bridge into a river, which worries me because over a river, a bridge isn't, I wouldn't think a bridge would be so high. It's not like you're jumping off the Golden Gate, which has large ships passing under it. This is a bridge over a little river. So he was rescued by a passing kayaker. Police in Little Ferry, New Jersey say a witness saw a man jump into the Hackensack River about 5 miles west of New York City at around 8:20 a.m. on Sunday. When police arrived, they saw a kayaker who had a dog as his kayak passenger throw the 55-year-old Garfield man a line, which he grabbed. So obviously he decided on the way down he didn't want to commit suicide after all. The kayaker then pulled the man towards the riverbank. The man eventually stood up and walked ashore where emergency responders were waiting. So one, he picked a really crappy area to try to commit suicide because obviously it wasn't a high enough fall to hurt him. And two, it's a good thing he picked the area he did because it was obvious he didn't want to die halfway down anyway.
Or he could have been like the Wicked Witch of the West. Maybe he melts in water. So maybe, you know.
But he hit the water. So it would have done the damage. I mean, then there would have been nothing for the kayaker to throw a line to.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. This one is, people have probably read it already, and it's just something that made me giggle.
But wait. Now let's go back to this. So let's go back to this. I seem to recall reading somewhere that most suicide attempts are not real. Like most suicide attempts are basically a cry for help. So they're kind of hoping that they don't succeed, right? They're miserable and they want someone to pay attention to them.
Yeah. I am hoping that most suicide attempts are that way because it would really, I mean, it'd be very tragic to think, well, it's tragic to think someone would attempt it anyway. And what's weird is I live 45 minutes south of the place where the majority of suicides in the United States occur.
Really?
More people. Yes. The Golden Gate Bridge is the site of more suicides per year than anywhere else in the United States. People actually travel from out of the country in to commit suicide on the Golden Gate Bridge. If you ever watch the documentary, The Bridge, it's all about the Golden Gate. And they had actually, CHP had actually set up cameras at one point to watch the bridge. And it's really unsettling because you don't see a person walking on the bridge and you don't see them falling off. You just see the splashes hit the water throughout time. If you're watching the time, it's really spooky. The state has even talked about trying to put nets under it, but you can't do that and still have the ocean traffic coming in and out. So CHP spends a lot of time trying to talk people down from committing suicide. And there are people who've actually survived who have said on the way down, they realized, I don't really want to die. But because of the distance and the fact that you're hitting water that's cold enough to cause hypothermia, not a lot of people have a very, you don't really have a successful, you don't have a high rate of survival.
Right.
And the kid who did survive was 16 when he jumped off and he was fished out of the water with almost every bone in his body broken.
Wow.
So he was in traction and a body cast for months and months and months.
If he'd only had that shield, he could have,
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm not. No, so I just want to clarify what I was saying. So I'm not in any way, shape, or form, because I thought about this. It's like, I'm not implying that there aren't successful suicide attempts. I'm just saying that I think most suicide attempts are not. I don't think they actually really want to kill themselves. I think that they are depressed enough to go through, but they're still hoping. There's still that hope at some point.
Someone will find them and save them, and they'll, you know, they'll get the help they need. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. And it's scary to think about, but it was just one of those things where I was reading that news story and I was like, well, who picks a little bridge over? Now, I've never been to Hackensack, to the Hackensack River. So I have no idea if he was counting on the river to kill him, you know, or
piranha.
I don't know. So, but it couldn't have been a very high fall, because he appeared, you know, the news story doesn't state that he's had any injuries. Okay. It's just that he was being evaluated.
And what was the date on this?
It was recent, actually. Give me one moment and I will.
So it could just be that it could be because the rivers swell at this, you know, a month or two ago from the melting snow in the mountains. So it could just be that it was really cold water that was fast moving. So he would have gotten swept out with the.
From this morning. It's a May 3rd, 2015 article.
Well,
and
then
it is
he was stupid.
From the Newsday online. So.
All right. What's our next story then?
Our next story is actually because the Apple Watch is all over the news.
Oh, dear God. Tell me you didn't get an Apple Watch.
God, no.
Thank you.
Why? I don't wear a real watch.
I know.
Why would I then spend thousands of dollars on something I don't wear?
It has been absolutely maddening listening to the tech shows over the past couple of weeks, just all, you know, going on and on about this watch. Now, in fairness, this isn't an Apple thing, because when the Android watches came out a couple of years ago, I was just saying the same thing.
Yes.
It's like, this is the stupidest thing that I've ever seen. It's like, yes. I don't wear a watch. They look hideous. I don't care how sleek or whatever. They look like huge. They look like the old Casio calculator watches from the 70s. It's like, it's like this, they're just, and they're $700. It's just like, for God's sakes. It's like, ugh.
This is the thing. And this is specific. I didn't really pay attention when the Pebble and all of those Android based ones started coming out and stuff, because they didn't make the huge splash media wise that the Apple Watch has made. And living where I do, tech stuff, tech news, I'm, you know, 20 minutes from the Apple campus. It's huge everywhere. And unfortunately, I live in the area of the country where all tech douchebags congregate. And so we have decided, and I'm going to anger some people, especially some of my Apple loving friends.
Stop it.
But it's been decided that that's pretty much the banner that says, hi, I'm a tech bro douchebag and you don't want to talk to me. So we've decided, depending on what band they have, they either have just spent their rent money or they have way too much expendable cash and are probably going to get mugged on the light rail. So that's pretty much the consensus among the normal people here. But there is an interesting thing, and it also affects around here, considering the number of people in this area who have ink.
Yes.
The Apple Watch does not work through tattoos.
Ah.
There's something about in the inks used in tattoos. So if you have a sleeve or some sort of wrist tattoo, apparently certain applications of the Apple Watch, like the heart monitor.
Right. So like the sensors the galvanic response sensors
they malfunction and won't work.
Wow.
So, and at first it was a rumored thing that, if you're tattooed on your arms and wrists, your Apple Watch isn't going to work. But Apple has confirmed that, it appears to be happening. So this article is from May 1st, and it's Tattoo Snafu Irks Inked Apple Watch Wearers.
Wow.
Early adopters of the Apple Watch are complaining that a number of its key functions are disrupted by their tattoos. Owners of Apple Watch, including the reporter writing this article, who bought the 42-millimeter version with a stainless steel case and the black classic buckle for $822, have found that their inked skin confuses the sensors on the underside of the device. Users of the watch, which went on sale last week, took to social media Thursday under the hashtag TattooGate. Let me just shake my head at that one, to air their frustration with the flaw from Apple's renowned design house. One anonymous user on Reddit, my oh-so-favorite place on the internet, an entertainment social networking and user-generated site, said the device's locking mechanism, which should disengage when the watch defects, failed to work on decorated skin.
Ooh.
My hand isn't tattooed, and the watch stayed unlocked. Once I put it back on the area that is tattooed with black ink, the watch would automatically lock up again, the user wrote. This reporter, who has a black tattoo on his left arm, also found that the watch locks up when on his tattooed skin and does not deliver the soft pings that alert a user to incoming messages. Heart rate readings are also significantly different between tattooed and untattooed wrists. In an Apple support article, it says the watch uses green LED lights paired with light-sensitive photodiodes to detect the amount of blood flowing through the wrist and calculate the frequency of heartbeats. And it says that the company says tattoos can interfere with readings from the heart rate monitor, but does not mention that it interferes with other functions.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It also reacts to temporary tattoos.
Wow. So yeah, that makes complete sense because it's doing this thing. So... Right, I'm going to get geeky here, but hello, if you've not met me. So Minion51 in the chat room says, to be honest, I really thought Apple's watch would be thinner than this. I thought they'd find a way to put their battery in the band or make it run on nuclear fusion or something to make it not be so obvious. All right, so this is actually at the core of this is a lot of people are upset that Apple is shutting down a lot of the apps that keep time because they're basically trying to keep people from putting different watch faces into the app store so that people could put them on their watch because they only want the 9 different watch faces that they have to be used. Now, at first you might think that, oh, that's like, you know, how, you know, they're just being snotty about that. But really this is a battery issue because all of those 9 watch faces that they have on there are optimized to run on OLED screens. And an OLED screen, like my phone has an OLED screen here. When this time comes on my screen like that, the only power going to the screen are just underneath those pixels right there. So it's a very power efficient kind of a thing. So it's not like a backlit screen where the entire screen is always taking up power. It's like power is being delivered individually to those pixels.
Right.
So Apple's watch faces are of that same design that they are very power efficient. As opposed to, they don't want people to put something in their app store that, you know, someone's going to put a new watch face on their Apple Watch that then the watch dies after 3 hours because the battery is drained, right? So this all comes down to the battery. They can't put the battery in the band because the big thing was is that this is a watch. So you can use standard watch bands on this watch.
Right.
So another way that they save power, right, is by shutting down when you're not wearing it or like shutting down when you're not, using it. So it makes sense then that, you know, the sensors on the back of the watch know when it's in contact with your skin, that means you are wearing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, the ink is interfering with that. So that means that you can't just look down at your watch and see the time. You now have to look down at your watch, unlock the watch in order to see the time, which for a device that is supposed to, the big benefit of it is that you don't have to pull your phone out of your pocket. Well, you're doing the same number of things. Now you're using 2 hands to tell the time instead of just pulling your watch out of your pocket. So yeah, it's...
Well, and they're saying that the type of ink used, the pattern that you have tattooed on, and the amount of ink saturation in your skin can block the lights from the sensors. So what they're trying to say is that if your tattoo is all black ink, or if you have a real heavy ink design on your arm, then that's what'll block it. But apparently users are also reporting that a temporary tat on there will also affect it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If you have anything that isn't just skin, then it's going to affect it.
Yeah, and Nico in the chat room is saying my Fitbit does that as well, so it wouldn't work if I were tatted up, I guess. And that is incorrect. The Fitbit does not do the same thing. So keep in mind, Apple has to make their watch available for any band, right? Because they've made that design decision.
Right.
So that means they can't have any sensors in the band. Your Fitbit, which wraps around your wrist, is entire. In other words, your Fitbit is actually taking your pulse from your wrist. It actually has a pulse sensor, and it's actually listening to the sound of your pulse. Whereas
it's in the band,
right? It's in the band. So your Fitbit would not have a problem with the. In this case, it is the metal, you know, sitting on top of your skin that it's making the determination. I'm sitting on top of skin, or I'm not, or I'm trying to listen to the blood flow, and I'm getting confused by the ink. So yes, 2 different things. But anyway,
and then my last news story I chose because this one is actually a throwback to when I was in 5th grade. And do you remember the Space Shuttle Challenger? The one
I am far too young to remember the space.
The Space Shuttle Challenger, for those of you who are old like me, was a mission for the space shuttle to go into space in 1986. And the big thing was that there was a teacher, there was a civilian who was chosen to go. Christy McAuliffe. And unfortunately, during the launch, the shuttle basically exploded on live television in front of everyone who watched, including my entire school, where they had called a special assembly because Christy McAuliffe was from or had friends, teaching friends in the Bay Area. So it was a very big deal growing up over here that Christy McAuliffe was going, even though I think she was a teacher in Texas, but she had roots in the Bay Area somehow and knew a lot of teachers. And it was a huge tragedy that we all watched live on TV.
As a side note to that, I lived in Florida. Born and raised
where
in Florida.
The launch was
where the
right?
launch happened. Yeah, the launch happened, and it happened in the morning. I didn't actually see the explosion happen. However, that Y-shaped cloud that you know the trail from the thing, it was an unusually still day with no clouds in the sky. It was in early January, and that cloud hung in our sky all day long. It's like so. It was just up there for hours afterwards. This big Y-shaped cloud just kind of hanging there.
Well. So. What was just released in an article today was that we almost lost an iconic Sesame Street character because Big Bird was almost on the Space Shuttle Challenger.
Oh.
Big Bird was scheduled to go on the Space Shuttle Challenger. And it says here, Big Bird has been a Sesame Street regular since 1969, but his time on the well-received and long-run series was almost tragically cut short. Recently, Carol Spinney, the voice behind the Sesame Street character, revealed that Big Bird was originally scheduled to board the Space Shuttle Challenger for its doomed mission in 1986. Thanks to some logistical problems, the character never made it on the flight and was able to avoid the tragic fate that befell all the crew members. Big Bird has been voiced by Spinney since 1969, and when NASA first began planning the mission, the government agency invited Spinney to wear the Big Bird suit and head into space. The goal of the project was to get young children more excited about the space program.
All right, now let's be logical about this.
Okay.
I seriously doubt that they were going to have Carol Spinney in the Big Bird suit go into space and stay up in space in a damn Big Bird suit for the entire, you know, thing.
She wasn't supposed to stay in the suit the whole time.
No, I think probably what this was it was going to be, let's have Big Bird walk out with them in his fake Big Bird suit, his, you know, space suit, his NASA Big Bird outfit, right? Get onto the shuttle, but then, you know, he doesn't actually go into space. It's just like, because the space shuttles only sit so many people and they already had a full crew. I think this was more of a, let's watch Big Bird get onto the shuttle. And then, you know,
Let me read this.
All right.
Big Bird was happy to go. But there were practical problems when NASA realized that the full suit is 8 feet 2 inches
yes.
tall.
Yes.
And would not fit into the seats for the shuttle.
Yep.
Instead of Big Bird, the organization asked school teacher Krista McAuliffe to take the place on the crew. In the 1986 mission, and it was now her job to hold the classrooms with the kids during the space flight. So they were going to have Big Bird go up and then do conferencing for shuttle to classroom conferences to talk to kids about space. So she was supposed to go up with the Big Bird suit so that when she did transmissions down to school classrooms from space, she would do them as Big Bird. Except that they could not get her in. She wouldn't fit in the shuttle if she put the suit on. There was no way she could wear the suit for the transmissions. So then they decided to go with the school teacher instead.
Now, just to clarify one piece,
mm-hmm.
Carol Spinney is a man.
Okay. Says she in here.
Really?
Yeah, it does.
Because I just Googled it. It's like, yeah, Carol Spinney, S-P-I-N-N-E-Y. He's a...
Well, now I'm questioning this. Oh, wait. Nope. Sorry. This is me reading wrong.
You were probably Christine.
It says
McAuliffe.
His time. Yes. Krista McAuliffe.
Yeah. She
would talk to kids on the ground during the space flight. Yes. That's my fault. And Spinney is still rocking the voice of Big Bird at 81 years of age. Mm-hmm. And he recently told CBC that the Sesame Street crew actually stopped filming the series in order to watch the Challenger launch. And then, of course, the broadcast did not go as planned. And here is a quote. We were taping another episode of Sesame Street at the time it went up, and they said, the ship is about to take off, so we're going to punch the broadcast of the takeoff onto the monitors of the set. We all stopped working, and we watched the monitors, and when we saw it blow up, I felt my scalp crawl.
Wow.
Yeah.
I just posted a picture in the chat room, which is a diagram that I've always found to be fascinating, which is how the Big Bird suit works.
Yeah, the Big Bird suit is quite large.
Well, his mouth is actually operated like a regular puppet. So it's like, so it is 8 feet tall, but there's a 6 feet dude inside that is basically holding his hand up above his head to operate the mouth and eyes.
Yeah.
And then he has one hand that is operating his left arm, his left wing, but his left arm. And then he sees by looking down into a little television set, which a lot of the Muppeteers, if you watch the old documentaries on the Muppets, a lot of them would do that. That's how they would see the sets and stuff is there.
Well, and the article here ends with, it was a tragedy that was witnessed by a good chunk of the American population and has been part of cultural consciousness in the time since. It is fortunate that a children's icon like Big Bird and Spinny was not also lost in the accident, or the blow may have been even more psychologically damning for all of the children who watched the broadcast. And it is interesting. The reason why this caught my eye actually is because there is a little picnic area at the back of the, I work for a school district, and there our building, the back of our building opens up into our parking area. But beyond that, there's a little grassy area where there's like picnic benches and some park benches. And there's a half ring of redwood trees that were planted, and they've been there for years, and there's a plaque, and they were planted right after the Challenger shuttle blew up. And the plaque actually says they planted a tree for each member of the crew that was lost. And the plaque is a dedication to the Challenger mission. And so it's something I walk by every day that I'm at work. So this is how this one caught my eye.
Wow.
It's a little bit sad, but it's also like, could you imagine if Big Bird had been on there? Like, school children everywhere would have lost their minds.
Yeah, even if you took my version of it, right? The fake, just have him loading into the shuttle. It's like, you know, oh yeah,
exactly.
Big Bird's the only one that survived.
Yeah. Big Bird is magic. Yeah,
he's magical,
so.
Yeah. Yeah, it was bad enough when Mr. Snuffleupagus, died.
What?
Mr. Snuffleupagus died.
They killed Mr. Snuffleupagus?
Oh my God, do you not watch Sesame Street?
I'm almost 40. Why would I watch Sesame Street? They killed Mr. Snuffleupagus?
I'm Googling this now. I believe I read this. That they finally made him non-imaginary, because they figured someone decided that that was probably bad, you know, that no one would believe Big Bird, right?
Yeah.
So he did meet
trying to get children out of the habit of having imaginary friends.
Yeah. No. It wasn't that. It was just that this clearly wasn't an imaginary friend, right? He clearly was a real friend. And now it's like, Big Bird, it was a big thing that they didn't want to have
people calling Big Bird a liar.
Right. They didn't want kids to not want to tell adults things because the adults wouldn't believe them when they told them. Right. It was just kind of a thing. All right. I am wrong. Cause yes, he is being, what it was is that the actor that played Mr. Snuffleupagus, Michael Earle, died in 1980, and he was replaced by Martin P. Robinson, who is playing him now. So.
You almost like destroyed what little shred of childhood I have left, because Mr. Snuffleupagus was my favorite.
Yes.
On Sesame Street.
Yeah. So Michael Earle died in 1980, and he was replaced by Martin Robinson. Mr. Hooper did die, though.
Yes, Mr. Hooper from Sesame Street. He was old when I was a kid and watched Sesame Street.
Or as Big Bird would say, Mr. Looper.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my gosh! Now I have to watch Sesame Street because I need to get caught up. Apparently.
So in the chat room, RT Cruiser says, "Mr. Hopper died. That was sad. You know what? No pandering, RT. And it was Mr. Hooper." I don't want to call on that. It happened a long time ago. Let's see. We don't have a thing. Do you have other news stories?
Nope, that's it. That's all.
I have one that was posted on Facebook.
Okay.
I believe it was posted on Facebook by RT Cruiser.
Uh-oh. Who's a celebrity death?
It is not a celebrity death. Let me play. I have audio to go with this, but the headline here is that women who walk alone at night invite predators, says mayor of Albury after alleged rape. Yeah, here we go. Here's the audio from this story, so we can all be up to speed.
Albury Mayor Kevin Mack has warned women not to walk alone following the alleged rape of a girl on Tuesday. The 17-year-old told police she'd been walking home along a footbridge just after 6 p.m. when three men dragged her into bushes at knife point and assaulted her.
I always have encouraged women not to walk alone, to have someone with them at all times, because that in itself is an invitation to someone to take advantage of you.
Mr. Mack's comments echo those of Victorian Homicide Squad Chief Mick Hughes following the stabbing of Melbourne teen Masa Vukotic in March.
I suggest to people, particularly females, if they shouldn't be alone in parks. I'm sorry to say that is the case. We just need to be a little bit more careful, a little bit more security conscious. And we as a public need to look after each other.
New South Wales police have released images of the men in question and are appealing to the public for any information.
All right. So there you go, Christine. What could possibly be wrong with that?
Okay. There are so many things wrong that I'm sure I'm not going to get to all of them. And what Daniel is laughing about is that he can see my face on camera. And he can see that I am literally shaking with rage. And I know you guys did this so that Daniel could have a patented Christina rant. Well, guess what, fuckers? You're getting one. Because here's the deal. All right. Nothing is an invitation for rape. Ever. 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 There is no such thing as an invitation to rape. And the fact that some girl walking alone is instantly like, well, she's asking for it. Obviously, it was an invitation to rape. Really, assholes? Are you that incapable of controlling your penis? Like, is it a monster that runs on its own? Because last time I checked, men were human beings. They had control over their own impulses and bodies. And I don't understand why it's the job of a 17-year-old girl to keep a bunch of grown-ass men and check yourselves. I need to breathe now.
Now, I will agree with you that the whole invitation, you know, was way above the fold, that kind of a lie, you know, the blah, blah, blah.
And it's the mindset that she was asking for it.
Correct.
She was not.
Correct. And I don't want to defend them. I don't want to defend them because they should know better. But I'm going to, just because I know I'm going to hear this, I'm going to go ahead and make the point that what they probably were saying is that women are more frequently victims of assault than men, and that if they are in an area that has, you know, a known crime rate, that maybe they should, you know, and we do this on college campuses everywhere. We have safe boxes and stuff like that. But the point is to walk with a buddy, or so you're statistically far less likely to be attacked if you're with someone else, man or woman. If you're more than one person, you're statistically more, you know, less likely. Now, that being said, right. They're old douchey guys that are basically like
saying
the thing. No, I'm just saying. I was just saying that, you know, there is a truth to the fact that women are more. But the overlooked thing here is that there's a lot of effeminate men that are also very, you know, picked on. There, it's like
that is also true.
That people who are bullied are going to continue to be bullied, right? Because somehow, you know,
some people are assholes.
Right. A lot of people are assholes. Mm-hmm. Right. Now we have. I don't know if I want to go there, but we have this hospital that we bought that is in an area of town where there may be a black person living.
Oh, maybe. You might have one. And, oh, no. Whatever will all of those people in Connecticut do?
And on my first day of orientation, the head of security guy like got up in front of us in orientation and went on for a good 5 or 6 minutes about, if you're leaving the San Rafael campus, you need to call the security office and have us escort you to your car, because you do not want to get trapped outside of the San Rafael campus in the when it is dark outside, because you will get you will get attacked and blah, blah. It's like, New Haven, Connecticut has one of the lowest crime rates in the universe.
Were they giving that speech for the single black person? Were they like trying to say, by the way, this might be a sundowner town, so we don't want to point out that it's racist, but guess what? It might be racist.
Racist and classist, right? Because it really has to do, it's just a poor area. That's all it is. It's not, you know, it's not necessarily that there's, you know, whatever, there's more black people living there, but primarily because it's a poor area. And, you know, we as a country have done a hideous disservice to African-Americans, but in almost every respect. However, that being said, douchebag, the douchebag award goes to the mayor of Aubrey. Well, I love the fact that they don't, you have to dig to find his name. His name is Kevin Mack.
All right.
Kevin Mack.
Rapist apologist.
I ain't got
it. Marty Cruiser is leaving us because we're not doing any celebrity death calls.
All right, now, you know what? I've seen this in the chat room, and I didn't want to respond to it other than the fact that you all know that Adam controls the telephone lines here. And so Adam is on vacation, so I don't have access to the death calls. Here, if it'll make you feel better. Yeah, hi, guys. It's Marty Cruiser calling, ringing the celebrity death phone. Adam Burns, dead. Somewhere in LA.
No, it's deed. It's not dead.
Deed.
It's deed.
Adam Burns. Deed. Somewhere in LA. Yeah, you know, so I talked to Adam. He's out there in the LAs.
Nice.
Having a nice little...
It's the boyfie trip.
That's right, the boyfie trip.
I get to say boyfie. Oh, I'm on DI Plus. I'm saying boyfie.
He was going to do this lunch at Disney yesterday, because they were at Disneyland yesterday. He was going to do this Disney lunch. And he just didn't do it because no one ever told him that they were going to meet him there. And it's just like going, well, what about the people that might have gone there to meet
the people
you?
Who would have shown up and said, I'm here to see Adam Burns.
Right. So for those of you, if any of you did go there to show up to see Adam Burns and he just like completely blew you off, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Just know, I would never do that. So when I'm out there in November, I won't blow you off. I will.
Why is it no one ever comes my direction? Nobody ever comes to Northern California.
What is there in Northern California?
Way to turn it around on me, Daniel Brewer. From the time I said, well, there's nothing in Connecticut, so why would I go there?
Now, you know what? It is true. On your show, you once said, no, it was a live show. So I wasn't a guest on your show. I was in the chat room for one of your live shows. And I said, why doesn't anyone come to Connecticut? And you're like, because there's nothing fucking in Connecticut, Daniel Brewer. And I was so tempted, just so tempted to call you every single week with some new fact about Connecticut.
You should have, because I needed to be schooled, because really the answer to that is, well, Christina, I'm in Connecticut. That's and right. That is a reason to visit, which is actually would be my reason for visiting would be to go see my friend Daniel Brewer.
We still
and have him take me to that place where he goes to get burgers right. because, you know, it's a counter or something.
The counter, but that's actually in New York City. But yes. Yes. Okay. The counter.
Now, well, I've never been there either.
Right. Now, so. We actually have our own state theme song.
Do you?
Yeah, let me find it here. This is the Connecticut tourism website here. Let's go there.
Here's a
let's see.
Uh-oh.
They commissioned it. It was performed by the Connecticut Symphony Orchestra, and it was like there's a contest to pick the singer.
Seriously, you have a symphony orchestra do your state song. You couldn't like pick some pop singer like Florida does, or, you know, like.
No. There was a contest to pick. So the singer was a native, Connecticutian
That's
yeah. Say what?
That's not a word. You just made that up.
It's a native nutmegger.
That I'll buy they call themselves nutmeggers because yeah. That just sounds very Connecticut. Yeah.
I'm not seeing.
Oh, there is a counter out here in Oakland. Look, I can
yes.
have burgers
yes, yes,
counter
yes, yes.
with Mike Lawson. I apparently no, the counter wouldn't be the same without Daniel Brewer.
There you go.
I'm just gonna put that out there.
Now, what you want to do in Connecticut, though, when you're in Connecticut, there's a couple of things that you really want to do in Connecticut. Let me tell you what they are.
Okay. Go to New York?
No, that's fun. You can go to New York. But if you're here in Connecticut, there are uniquely Connecticutian things to do. And here they are. Number one is to go to one of our mini orchards where there's, if it's in the fall, there's like corn mazes and stuff that are there. And you can get fresh apples, fresh pumpkins. And of course, if you don't want the fresh apples and pumpkins, you can get the fresh apple and pumpkin pie that they have, going on there. You can also do here in Connecticut, we have a steam train that runs through through the center.
Sorry, I was in the chat room. I wasn't laughing at you.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Daniel's company makes
the
anything.
The point of Connecticut Cutter is Cunter.
Oh, there you go. Yep.
Y'all are Cunters.
That's right. We're Cunters. There's a steam train in the middle of Connecticut that you can go on, and then that'll take you down to a paddle boat that'll take you down the Connecticut River. That's a fun little day there.
It sounds nice.
It is. It's very lovely. There, hiking, we have a million different hiking. Here's the weird thing is because we're, you think Connecticut, you think, oh my God, it's crowded, right? It's the crowded Northeast. But Connecticut is like the country. It's like there's a lot of open land here in Connecticut, and we have lots of mountains and trails and parks and stuff that
Daniel?
Yes.
Do you honestly think that when I think of Connecticut, I think, oh, it's crowded?
No, I'm just saying, okay. Northeast, a lot of people think that. But here, let me also say this. Let me do one final point. What we have, Christina, is a place that makes banana bread French toast.
I have heard of this place. You have mm-hmm, talked of mm-hmm. it.
It's called a Rourke's Diner. It makes banana bread French toast that is just insane.
Do you want to know what two of my favorite foods are? Banana bread and French toast.
Oh my God. And here they are combined. Here they're combined with creme fraiche on top of them and then a little bit of banana compote on top of that.
All right. See, the draw for me was Daniel Brewer, but now he's bribing me with food. At some point, there is going to be a Facebook post of just like a plane ticket showing me having a seat to a flight to Connecticut. And I'm just going to be like, get ready, Daniel. Yeah. Help me find a hotel.
Now, in fairness, you should fly to New York City because it's awesome. And I'll come in to meet you, but then we'll go into Connecticut for a day.
Okay, but I have one question.
Yeah.
And this is where the country girl in me comes out, because I much prefer open space to giant cities. Because my big problem, I love meeting up with the Pride 48ers in San Francisco, but I hate San Francisco because it always smells like urine. Does New York smell like urine all the time? Because that's what I imagine Manhattan is like. Like when you are in New York City, when you are on the island of Manhattan and you are walking through one of whatever, there's five boroughs, but I think Brooklyn's over a bridge or something. Yes. So does it smell like urine, like everywhere? Because when you walk through sections of San Francisco, literally it just smells like urine all the time.
There are some sections of New York City that are, are pungent. However, Not Manhattan. Manhattan is like, no, not Manhattan.
Franklin's telling me it smells more like garbage.
Yeah, they actually take their garbage off. They send their garbage to Staten Island. But it really depends. Like, if you're in New York in the middle of the summer when it's hot and humid and muggy, then yeah, it stinks. But when you're in New York and it's cooler and, you know, and the breeze is blowing and everything, you got to remember that the island of Manhattan is an island. So it is surrounded by water. So it's like the breeze kind of like blows things away and you're never that far away from the water. So Manhattan is not the... Brooklyn is more, is bigger and it's... although it is also surrounded by water, you go further. Also, New York has a lot of parks, a lot of really big parks, like Prospect Park over in Brooklyn and Central Park in Manhattan.
So I'd probably want to come out in fall.
Yes.
Now,
this area of the country, we have basically 2 months out of the year that are really hot. And that is like late July, early August. It's really hot. And when I say really hot, I mean it's like almost 90 and muggy.
Okay.
Other than that, we have very lovely weather. Like today was 70 degrees. We're getting a little bit of a chill coming up later this week. We'll go down to the 60s, to the high 60s or whatever. But it's by and all, it's a lovely place here. We never
I'm
really
talking
get.
About the weather.
I know we are. All right. all right. Fine.
But
let's do this.
But the draw for me is Connecticut will smell better. So Connecticut.
Yes.
I'm so glad you helped me get to the fiesta today. Do you know why today is such a special fiesta?
Why, Dora?
It's a birthday fiesta!
Yeah!
So let's all sing happy birthday in English and Spanish. Ready?
In fact, the DI Plus birthday segment, the segment of the show where normally someone would play theme songs and we would guess, but since Adam is not here this week, we will instead just jump right to the part that everyone cares about, which is to tell you whose birthday it is from Pride 48. On May 1st, we had a lovely birthday for the hugely talented Miss Donna Sugars. Happy birthday, Miss Donna Sugars. Also, Tom V had his birthday on May 1st. Happy birthday, Tom. And Jesus, that's it until later in the month.
Yes, yeah.
Wow.
But except, a lot of same
except
days.
Except Bob, who's not listed as a member on Pride 48. But happy birthday, Bob.
I haven't mocked up an account for him yet.
Anyway, so happy birthday to all of you. If you would like your birthday to be listed on the front page of Pride 48, make sure you sign up for a Pride 48 account and check on the checkbox that says, yes, I would like my birthday to be recorded. I mean, to be announced. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Just do it.
Would like my birthday on DIY.
Just do
DIY
it.
Plus.
All right,
DIY
just do
plus.
It.
Oh my God, too much homie on the TV.
We did it!
Oh my gosh.
You have no idea how much Adam hates Dora.
You know, I only got into this song because it's on your show. I'm not a Dora fan, but I cannot resist dancing and singing along because it's on your show.
But it's an awesome song. That's all there is to it. Yeah, we also don't have contact this week because Adam didn't.
Oh, see, that one's my favorite. I love that.
Feat. Oh, really? I can play it for you.
3, 2, 1. Contact is the secret.
Excellent. Yeah. See, I remember watching this on PBS.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for indulging me. You just got to see what I look like in my car when I'm listening to the show.
as you drive down the road, you get to do those things. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, you know what, Christina? Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah. Thank
really
you for having me.
I appreciate it. I don't know if you've heard about this or not, but we have this big, huge streaming from home event that's going to be taking place June 19th through the 21st, right here on Pride48.com.
Yes, I have to listen to the
State of the Station,
but to get all the details. But yes, I have the basics down. So
here are the basics, just so for those of you who may not know. So the basics are basically, if you would like to participate, if you are a podcaster and you would like to participate in our June event. Now, this is not the one in Vegas. This will be the one from home. So all you have to do is, get up. You can be in your underwear. It doesn't matter. Get up and connect to our stream at your appointed time and then basically do your show for an hour. And there's a big chat room. Everyone all comes into the chat room, and it's a big fun weekend. It'll be taking place June 19th through the 21st this year. If you are interested in doing that, all you have to do is drop an email to bigfatty@pride48.com. So bigfatty all smushed together @pride48.com, and just say, yes, my show is called blank, and I would like to participate. You don't yet have to pick a time or anything like that. That'll be handled later. We need to know how many participants there are before we can actually figure out how many time slots we're going to have. So, but once you're in the capable hands of Big Fatty, and God knows those hands have been in many places.
Oh boy, yes. You'll be getting our email probably tomorrow. I just have to confirm that Nicole will be in town that weekend.
Excellent. All you have to do is just be an LGBT friendly show, and you don't have to normally stream on Pride 48. You don't have to do any of that stuff. Any show is welcome. All you have to do is just be LGBT friendly and have a desire to do it. That's really the only two things. You don't have to sign a contract. You don't have to pledge your firstborn child or anything like that. It's completely free. We'll give you the technology as to how to connect to our stream and teach you how to do that ahead of time. So it's all taken care of. Now,
so invite your friends
later in the year.
Yes.
August 27th through the something. What is it? Yes. August 27th through the...
All I know is I'm there from the 25th through the 31st. Right. That's all that matters right. to me.
August 27th. Yeah, 27th through the 30th is our event in Vegas. And if you would like to go to our event in Vegas, we do welcome you to come. You don't have to be a podcaster. If you just want to come and listen and hang out and do things with us. This year is going to be a lot different. This year is going to be much more fun. We're giving a lot more free time this year for people.
Yeah.
It really caught us by surprise last year when we added the thing on the website that let people create their own events and have people sign up for them. We didn't really think it was going to take off that much. And it did.
There was a lot of things. Yeah.
And sadly, a lot of those things, people were like, but this conflicts with that. And I can't. So this year we're giving, the way it's going to work this year is basically there's going to be a morning session and then a 3-hour lunch and then an afternoon session. And
that's good.
And we'll be done by 7 o'clock in the evening so that you'll have your evenings free. So all of these events if like the taco tour that Joe Batanz did last year, it will not be conflicting with any shows. So we have 3 hours worth of lunch there that you can go and do that. The other thing we're going to do this year, we're going to have 30-minute slots available. So if you're a show that just didn't feel like you could, do an entire hour, or if you just want to do, just quite frankly, you just want to do less. You just want to, just give people a little taste of your show, whatever. Then yeah, we have 30-minute slots coming up this year for those that want to do that. So I think that'll be great because we can fit more shows in less time. And it's one of those things when you need to fill an hour in front of an audience, it can get daunting.
For some people, I just ramble on about nothing until everybody tells me to shut up, and then my show is over. Or Nicole tells me time's up. But there is a question in the chat room of, if you've made your reservations, who do you email your reservation info to for the August event?
Same thing, bigfatty@pride48.com. We will have the section on the website back where you can fill out the census information like you did last year. But if you email it now to bigfatty@pride48.com, we will backfill it. So in other words, you won't have to do it twice. So we will backfill it from that information. But yeah, no, it'll be great. Excellent. It'll be fun. I know that I read on Facebook that Mags has already made his hotel reservations.
He did. He was the one asking, where does he email his reservation info to? So yay, Mags.
I saw that. So yeah, we're going to have, it'll be fun. It'll be a lot of fun.
This will be the first time that Bob will be able to come for the entire week. He's not just flying in on Friday night and leaving Sunday evening. So he'll be with me for the whole week. So he gets to enjoy all the social stuff as well as the podcast events. So that's good. And I like that you guys are giving us breaks so we can actually have food, because I always had to skip a show in order to run out and get something to eat, because it would be like, I haven't eaten in 12 hours. Oh, I better go grab some chicken strips or something.
That's right. Yeah. And I believe this year that Joe Batanz is actually going to do an event where he's going to take people down to the bathhouse in Vegas there.
And give them a tour?
Mm-hmm. No. Just take them down to the bathhouse, just for them to go to the bathhouse. And so I think what they're actually going to do is his whole point behind the thing was he was going to get, one of those buses
Ah, the party bus.
And just smush as many people into it as he humanly, you know, possibly could.
Nice.
Just so he could say, you know, Hitler was right. DI Plus is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line, 2x2 DI Plus. That is 229-234-7587. Or send us an email, contact@dubiousintent.com. I had nowhere to go with that.
I was waiting for you to give me something because I was just going to throw it out, but nothing was coming.
I was like, well, you know, if you put a bunch of naked, sweaty people on a train car, Hitler was right. I don't know. Thank you, Joe Batanz, for leaving us with that particular line. Yeah. I got nothing. Anyway, thank you so much, Christina. It was a delight to have you here.
Thank you for having me. Did we ever get the show title into the show?
We did, yes. Yes.
The results of the poll.
Yes, I took care of it. That was taken care of as one of those normal kind of things there. So Adam will be back next week. We'll get to hear all about his trip, which, trust me, I've heard the phone calls. It's going to be crazy.
Oh, boy.
Good night, DeVita.
Good night, Chet.